Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Southeast Alaska trail workers are used to the mud. Managing mud is their livelihood. But as KTOO's Anna Canny reports, Southeast Alaska trails may get muddier and harder to maintain as climate change brings more extreme weather to the region. Local trail crews are trying to figure out how to keep up.
Megan Tabachek is making her way through the fans of skunk cabbage and fiddlehead ferns that crowd the edges of Juneau's Black Bear Trail. Then she stops at a U-shaped bend a few feet from the trail, where loose dirt and exposed roots jut out from the bank of Montana Creek.
If this all were to erode out and, like, cut under the bank, then our whole trail could collapse.
Tabachek is the executive director of Trail Mix, a local nonprofit that spends each summer clearing brush, down trees, and occasionally landslide debris from the borough's beloved trails. But mostly, her crews work to strengthen trails against the rain that pummels Southeast Alaska.
We're used to mud. Mud is our bread and butter, but...
What they're not used to is the intensity of the mud, erosion, and washouts that are wreaking havoc on trails as human-caused climate change makes rainstorms more extreme. Typically, Tabachek says, trails have a lifespan of 10 to 20 years before they need major maintenance. But that's changing now.
The time from when we build a trail or do like a refurbishment of a trail to the time it needs touch-ups and fixings is kind of shortening. And we're having to do a lot of maintenance that isn't technically planned.
In December 2020, when record-breaking rain caused flooding and mudslides across Juneau, it also washed out local trails, which took weeks to clear and repair. Then a storm in 2021 blew down enormous trees that made some trails impassable.
And, you know, those trees would have dropped at some point anyway, but when we have these big storms and big wind events, then they all drop at once. And it's a lot of work to go out and clear 100 trees. So we've been seeing kind of some of these things that we have to react to.
Southeast Alaska's trail system has always taken a beating because of the rough terrain and the weather. James King, who was the executive director of Trail Mix back in the 90s, says he remembers cleaning up frequent landslides on the city-owned Perseverance Trail. That trail was closed again just this spring because of landslides. Like a lot of trails in Alaska, Perseverance was created from an old mining road. And these routes were built to get to resources as fast as possible, not for longevity or climate resilience.
Some of these trails just aren't in the right spot.
Now, King works for the National Forest Service, managing recreation for more than 1,000 miles of trails in the Tongass and Chugach National Forests. He says the Forest Service has struggled with upkeep as federal funding's fluctuated over the years. But right now, they're relatively flush, just as the region's tourism industry is exploding.
So rerouting, rethinking how we get people through these places and how we build infrastructure that's more resilient, that reduces that long-term maintenance. That's a big goal of ours.
Building trails with climate resilience in mind might mean putting down larger bridges that can handle larger floods, or laying down gravel paths to weigh down the soil and stop water from pooling, or rerouting trails altogether so that they're less vulnerable to erosion. Down the path on Black Bear Trail, an excavator is hauling soil. Crews are working to build a fortified abutment for a lopsided bridge that falls short of the bank and slumps into the soil. Erosion caused it to collapse.
You see trail damage and it's just like a line of dollar signs, like, floating down the water.
On this sunny spring day, the water is running low, and the forest undergrowth is full of freshly unfurled foliage.
You know, we get a couple weeks of rain, and then it gets sunny for 2 days, and everything just goes poof.
Rain is tough on trails. But this lush rainforest green is the reason people love hiking in Southeast Alaska. And it's the reason trail workers will keep on fixing trails with every passing storm. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
New rules for wastewater are on the horizon here in Alaska. The EPA has given the state's Department of Environmental Conservation 6 to 12 months to update the state's water quality standards based on revised estimates of how much fish Alaskans eat. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, that likely means tighter standards on pollutants, and the operator of Alaska's largest wastewater plant says he's concerned it could raise costs.
It's no surprise that Alaskans eat a lot of fish. We are famous for our fish. We, of course, have more coastline than any other state. But what might be a surprise is how big a role that simple fact plays in the regulation of wastewater treatment plants. But it's pretty simple if you think about it. Here's Gene McCabe, the Water Division Director at the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
So the basic premise here is that, you know, the fish live in the water, and if there are certain pollutants in that water, they will, over their lifetime, absorb those pollutants into their bodies. And then when humans eat them, of course, then we absorb those pollutants that are in the fish into our bodies.
Some of those might sound familiar, like mercury and arsenic. Others are a bit more exotic. They have long, complicated names like tetrachloroethylene and dimethyl phthalate. Some come from industrial processes. Tetrachloroethylene, for instance, is used in dry cleaning and in some automotive brake cleaners. But some others, like dimethyl phthalate and other phthalate chemicals, show up all over the place, including in many people's homes, says Mark Corsentino, the general manager for the Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility.
It can be in cosmetics. It's in laundry detergent. It's in plastics.
Not to mention food and even some bottled water. Oh, and some flexible PVC pipes that can take wastewater from your house. They truly are everywhere. Corsentino is in charge of the largest wastewater system in Alaska, and he's concerned that the new rules could tighten the limits on phthalates, and that could require expensive advanced treatment. States all over the country are working on updating their water quality standards. Washington State recently went through a similar process, also driven by an upward revision to the fish consumption rate. And certain pollutants are causing headaches as the state implements stricter standards laid out by the EPA in 2022. Melissa Gildersleeve is with the Washington Department of Ecology.
PCBs was probably the most vexing chemical for us.
Those are polychlorinated biphenyls. They're now severely restricted in new products, but they still show up in a ton of older things like pigments and coolant for electrical transformers. Gildersleeve says they've posed a particular problem in the Spokane area, and while water treatment plants can remove a lot of PCBs, they're not really designed to do so.
So, a lot of our work has been about trying to find the ultimate source of the PCBs.
And then work to eliminate the source. For example, earlier this year, Washington state officials petitioned the EPA to tighten limits on PCBs in consumer products. Gildersleeve says it's a similar story with phthalates, the chemicals the folks in Anchorage are worried about.
And that's where a lot of our implementation is oriented, is just really tracking down where those sources are and then seeing if they can get substitute piping or tubing or whatever in place.
McCabe, the Water Division Director at the Alaska DEC, says he's been in touch with wastewater authorities around the state. And when they brought up chemicals that can leach from pipes, he says the department took a closer look at how they're regulated across the country. And he says they found that just a handful of wastewater facilities face specific limits for those pollutants as a condition of their wastewater permits.
And the only facilities we found were from very, very large cities, multi-million population cities. So we weren't really seeing them from the same type of population that we see here in Alaska.
But for now, McCabe and fellow officials at the Alaska DEC are still working on what the state's new water quality standards should look like. He says he's hopeful the department will be able to release draft standards for public comment later this summer. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Lydia Jacoby won't compete in this year's Olympics. On Tuesday morning, the 20-year-old swimmer from Seward announced on social media that she would withdraw from an event that would have been her last chance to make Team USA for the Paris Olympics. In a post shared on Instagram, Jacoby said she wouldn't swim in the women's 200-meter breaststroke event in order to, quote, process and rejuvenate. She added, quote, I am not defined by my results. I am more than an athlete. I will be back, and I will be better. The announcement came the morning after Jacoby failed to qualify for that team while swimming the women's 100-meter breaststroke during Monday's final qualifiers in Indianapolis. She took home Olympic gold for that event during the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Here's NBC announcer Jason Knapp.
And how about the shock second for Emma Weber, besting Lydia Jacoby, the defending Olympic gold medalist, doesn't make it through.
Ahead of that race, Knapp recalled the sensational moment that Jacoby won her event in Tokyo.
Lydia Jacoby, then 17 years of age from Seward, Alaska, sent her hometown into a fit of frenzy. Her parents, Rich and Leslie, in the stands, holding up the iPad to capture the moment. What a thrilling moment.
After graduating from Seward High School, Jacoby began racing collegiately with the University of Texas at Austin. Since 2021, she also taken home a gold, silver, and bronze medal for swimming events during the World Aquatics Championship. And in Juneau today, we have some welcome sun again this afternoon, with temperatures reaching 66 degrees heading into this evening. There are 5 cruise ships here today, and the last one will leave at 10 p.m. And tomorrow is our summer solstice, so get out and enjoy that. In Juneau, I am Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for listening.